Philippians chapter 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning we join the voices of countless others in proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord of our lives, Lord of all. And as we proclaim that word and hear this promise that there will be a day when every tongue proclaims that, we ask that you would grow in our hearts, our love for you and our commitment to you, so we can help spread that word that Jesus is Lord until all the hearts and tongues in our community know it as well. Thank you, Jesus, that you showed us the example of perfect love. Love that would come in humility and sacrifice. This morning, our aim is to lift your name high. Would you be exalted in this place, we pray. Amen. Would you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2? We're continuing in our series on relationships and those key relationships that all of us need in our lives to be whole people. Last week, we asked, who's your Nathan? And today the question is, who is your Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 2, just verses 1 and 2. This is from Paul to Timothy. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Would you pray with me? Now, Father God, I do pray that in these moments, the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart in this place would be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. As we turn to your word, we ask for your spirit to move freely among us so that you might help us hear what it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be who it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember studying for the SATs in high school? Like two people? That's not a good sign, you guys. Some of you just didn't study for them at all. The SATs in high school, they had that section of analogies. Remember those? Where they would say A is to B, as C is to D, and you were trying to figure out what the relationship was between the two. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, we've got like five that time. This is good. All right, so we're going to relive our high school days this morning. The best part, SATs. See if you catch the theme. Plato is to Socrates. You're like, I'm already out. As Aristotle is to Plato. Keep thinking. Luke Skywalker, you're like, all right, I'm back in, is to Yoda. As Harry Potter is to Dumbledore. All right, got some youth. Oprah Winfrey is to Maya Angelou. As Mark Zuckerberg is to Steve Jobs. Bob Dylan is to Woody Guthrie, as Bill Gates is to Warren Buffett. Are you seeing a connection of any sort? All right. Peter Parker is to Uncle Ben. See if you can finish this one. As the Karate Kid is to Mr. You guys, this is good. 1600s all around. Who are these people we're talking about? These are proteges and mentors. Let's try the Bible version. Joshua is to Moses, the one Bible teacher in the room. Good job. as Elisha is to Elijah. There we go. Moses and Elijah, leaders in the faith, who when their time came, they passed the baton on to someone in the generation right behind them who would carry the good work on after them. Have you ever noticed that God's mission going forth has always relied on one generation passing on what they've learned and seen to those coming up right behind them? Always, for thousands and thousands of years. In a culture that prizes the individual like never before. In a culture where retirement has come to mean you've paid your dues and now you get to check out and do what you want, we must remember this calling again. God's good work goes forth as one faithful generation intentionally, sacrificially pours into the next one. Perhaps the very best example of this in Scripture is Paul and Timothy. Paul is the mentor, entrusting Timothy, his protege, with all that he has seen and learned. So this morning, the question that we ask ourselves over and over again, who is your Timothy? Who's coming up right behind you in the faith, even right now? That you are intentionally, sacrificially pouring your wisdom and your heart and your gifts into. We're all called to have one, at least one. Who is your Timothy? We're going to look at some things that made Paul's relationship with Timothy truly unique and life-giving for both of them, but also for the entire church, then and now. And these things apply to us with our Timothys just the same. One thing, super easy, Paul chose Timothy. Timothy didn't choose Paul. Paul chose Timothy. We see their very first encounter in Acts 16. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul shows up in Timothy's hometown. Folks speak well of him to Paul, and Paul decides to bring this young guy along on his journey. Timothy, this young believer with a dad who's not even a believer, chosen by this man of God to grow up in Christ with him. We are called to see, to notice, to choose our Timothys. I have so many young couples who come to me often and ask me if I know of some older people in the church, older couples who might mentor them in the things of faith and marriage. I have young parents who are desperate for older parents who have walked in their shoes a little bit to come alongside them and encourage them. We've got so many brand new Christians who are just dying in this place for someone to see them and invest in them. They have questions and their struggles are real and they go beyond what we can even scratch the surface in on Sunday mornings. They need someone to see them in the crowd and say, hey, I see you. How about Starbucks once a week to hash through some stuff together? I see you. I choose you. These folks come to me asking if I know anyone among us who has time for them because they don't want to impose on you. They don't want to sound too needy or too desperate. They know you've got your own stuff to manage. But my friends, hear me. They need you. older believers, those who have had some mentorship in your life, mature Christians in our midst, it's on you to see the Timothys among us and to prayerfully ask the Spirit, which one is yours? Because someone is yours. One thing that I absolutely love about BCC is that we have so many brand new believers. Amen. We have so many folks who are just getting started on their journey with God. And we get front row seats every week to this Spirit who is always doing something new among us. And I wouldn't trade that for a thing. But one of the hardest things about BCC is we have so many brand new believers. We have so many who are still in the very first stage of faith that are just starting to grow up with Jesus. And I just can't be in 150 places at once pouring out sufficiently enough for everyone to get to grow up together. This is where the church must be, gets to be the church. Every single follower of Jesus in this place, every single one of you, if you've been walking with Jesus for at least a month, guess what? You've got someone right behind you who's just been getting to know Jesus for like a week. They could be your Timothy. And if you're among us this morning and you've been walking with Jesus for like six decades, holy smokes, do we need you? Look behind you. You've got hordes and hordes of baby Christians who are looking to you. And this is your main calling right now in this place. It is to invest in the Timothys. They're everywhere. Be a mentor. All of us, we must step up, must look out among our very own church family and ask God to reveal to us who is our Timothy. Because I guarantee you, he or she is right in front of you. See him. Recognize her. Choose them. And then make the first move. Paul chose Timothy. It comes with the territory of being a more grown-up Christian. Who's your Timothy? I don't know. No one's ever asked me to be that. Of course they haven't. They don't even know who Timothy is. But you do. You know. You choose them. You ask them. That's what makes you the mentor. And them the protege. Who's your Timothy? Paul chose Timothy. And then Paul empowered Timothy. In Philippians 2, verse 19, Paul says this, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I have no one like him, Paul says. Everyone around is looking out for themselves, but not Timothy. He's different. Church, he's saying, do you see him? Do you see what I see in this young guy? Paul talks Timothy up to the churches. Make sure that everyone gets to see the unique gifts within him. BCC, leaders in the faith, I ask you this question this morning. Whose gifts have you talked up and brought into the spotlight lately? Who's coming up right behind you that you have flat out celebrated recently? Making sure all of us get a chance to see what you're seeing. Empowering the next generation to serve and to lead. We've got to do that. On Friday at lunch after VBS, there was a big group of us around a table sitting around, and we were talking about the youth that came and served at VBS last week. Oh, I wish you could have seen them, you guys. We talked about how amazing these 6 or 7 young people were, teenagers who showed up 5 days in a row on their summer break early in the morning. That's hard for them. They sleep until like noon every day. And they came to this place with amazing attitudes and these servant hearts that poured into our children. You see, you don't have to be an expert Christian to be a mentor. Some of these kids just got to know Jesus at camp like 3 weeks ago. They're just a few steps ahead of another, and they're pouring out. While talking at lunch together, I said to those adults, make sure you tell them. Make sure you tell those teenagers that so impressed you what you saw. And they said, oh, we already have. Good, good. That's how it goes. We saw some young people together who are getting what it's all about. And we had to make sure to empower them by celebrating Jesus in them. Paul, have you seen Timothy? Boy, he's different. Church, have you seen some of these teenagers in our midst? Oh boy, compared to their peers, they're different. They're going to change some things. See that. Name it. Shine the light on that. And let's keep empowering what's coming to be right here before us. Timothy's, you guys, all around us. Who's yours? My friends, Emily and Kara, both of them have courageously stepped into new roles among us. Emily's been singing with the praise band. Have you noticed that? Out of her comfort zone. Totally, but following her heart. And do you know why she's up there? Because Ron saw a gift in Emily. And he celebrated that gift among the band. And he made a way for her to share that gift with all of us. Seeing the gifts in another and making sure that they're known in community, that's empowerment. That's what Paul did for Timothy. That's what Rohan did for Emily. And have you celebrated her stepping into this new place among us? Have you noticed? Have you said something? BCC leaders, I trust that you already have, because it's been over a month. And we just can't ignore when new gifts arise in our midst. Kara, she's in Hawaii right now, don't be jealous, but she's brand new to the faith. Brand new. I don't know if you know this, but this church stuff can be really overwhelming when it's all brand new to you. You guys can seem weird sometimes. You can. Not me, just you. And did you know that Kara, brand new believer, did you know she went to youth camp? She didn't know any better. In her very first year as a believer, she spent a whole entire week hanging out with some wild teenagers. Not the ones from last week, other ones. Same ones, but others too. Trial by fire, some of you guys might say. And she stepped into ushering too. She's an introvert. That's something that's not easy for her. But her heart is to serve. And last week was her very first time to be an usher on Communion Sunday. And she stood up here holding the communion trays. And I don't know if you saw it, but my dear friend Kara, her hands were just shaking as she held the bread and the cup, doing something that she's never done. Something scary, something uncomfortable, to serve you, to serve you. Did you see her sacrifice? Did you see her heart? Did you see her humble attempts to grow in our midst? And did you take some time to stop and to honor her in that place? Did you say anything at all? Long-time believers among us, I hope you're seeing our Timothys. New believers, new gifts, new callings rising up among us. And I hope that you're telling everyone what you're seeing, talking one another up like crazy, not down. No one has time for that. Up. Empowering those who are brand new to this thing called faith to jump right in on this amazing journey with Jesus together. Someone did it for you. Let's do it for them. Who's your Timothy? Paul empowered Timothy by talking him up and also by actually giving him real work to do. Paul entrusted Timothy to oversee, lead the complicated, messy congregation in Ephesus. All the advice that Paul is giving in 1 Timothy, it's to his protege serving by himself in Ephesus. Timothy, he's trying to lead this congregation that Paul loved, and Paul's not even there. He's letting go of the reins so that Timothy actually gets a real taste of leading. Even though Timothy might mess things up, might not do it just the same as Paul did it, it mattered not. I'm sure that Timothy preached some sermons in Ephesus that Paul could have totally done better on. And I'm sure that very first potluck in Ephesus that Timothy totally underordered the fried chicken and it ran out. And the person came up for third, said, "Where's the fried chicken?" And I'm sure that if Paul would have phoned in that order from afar, it would have been just fine because he knew. And I'm sure that Timothy called a church matriarch by the wrong name. And it made Paul cringe when he heard about it. And I bet at least once Timothy tried to bring in a new song that was a total flop. And Paul from afar was dying to say, "Just stick with the stuff we know, Timothy." But he doesn't do any of that. When Paul lets Timothy step in and lead, he actually lets Timothy step in and lead. Wow. Paul cared more about the good work of God's kingdom going forth after him than about his name being on everything in front of him. Paul cared more about the long-term state of the church than everything being just perfect right now. So Paul let Timothy have real work to do. He sent some encouraging letters along the way, but otherwise he took a big, giant step back. Mentors among us. We've got to do that too. Give the next generation real work to do. That doesn't mean just check out, say, "All right, done with that." No, when they try out a new ministry, actually show up to follow. Wow. Be a part. Be okay not being the one in the spotlight this time around. When they dare to step into a teaching role or to try their hand at cooking something or reaching the lost, be there. Receive from them. Give them prayers and letters and raise your pom-poms for them behind the scenes. And then practice taking some big steps back. Mentors, they find more joy in seeing the Timothys come to life than they do in seeing their own names in the headlines. Been there, done that. It's overrated. It's about God's work moving forth. And that will only happen as we empower the Timothys among us to step in and begin to lead. I'll never forget those who let me lead before I had done anything to prove I was going to succeed at it. A seminary professor called me into his office one day. I'd only preached 2 sermons up to this point, one in a class, and then one in a little church in Waco, Texas that had about 20 people there. And he said, "Jamie, I've been invited to speak on behalf of Truett Seminary at a preaching conference in Louisville, Kentucky, and I can't make it. But I want you to go instead. Represent our seminary and stand in my place." Me? Do what? I wanted to throw up. I did. He empowered me to step into these gifts that I hadn't even accepted within myself yet. And he sent me away with wisdom and with cheers, but he sent me alone with his name tied to me, letting me learn in real life of doing it. And you know, I'm not sure how well the sermon went. It was the third one ever. Probably pretty boring and lame. Doesn't matter. I'm totally sure that he would have done it way better. But then again, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be preaching this sermon today if it weren't for that trip to Louisville, Kentucky. For someone trusting me to lead when I had no idea there was even a leader within me. Because you see, my professor, his sights weren't on Louisville. They were so far beyond that. They were on the church's future and the need to pour into God's good work going forth. Faithful, longtime believers in our midst. Who is learning to do what you're doing among us? Well, no one's asked me to teach them. That's because you're the mentor. Choose them. Don't forget that part. Who are you empowering? Who are you inviting in? Who are you letting lead? It matters. For the future of the good work in this place, it matters. Who's your Timothy? Paul chose Timothy. Paul empowered Timothy. And Paul equipped Timothy. Paul encouraged Timothy to be circumcised because Paul knew it would help him more effectively share the gospel among Jewish people. Paul did all he could to make sure that he gave Timothy every tool he could give him to help him be successful as he stepped into ministry. So often when we go to pass our batons, what we do is we just go and go and go until we are flat worn out. And then just in a moment, we up and quit and we throw the whole load of teaching or cooking or VBSing or whatever ministering onto a newbie with no real help at all from all of our years of wisdom to share. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I had to learn it on my own, so they can too. Where's Jesus in that? And where's the heart for God's work to go forth in that? And if we're honest, sometimes we're even secretly a little bit glad when the ones coming after us can't do it better than us. Oh, not much Jesus in that. Lots of us, not much Jesus. If you know you've been blessed with some opportunities in life that others haven't had, might you consider sharing? Just last week, one of our youth asked me if I might have time in the next couple weeks to take her on a college visit out of state. I was thinking, yeah, in all my free time. But then I got to thinking, you know, she'll be the first one in her family to choose that path. And she has not a soul in the world to help her know the first things about how to navigate that. But I've been there, 35 years old, and I'm still there. I know. And I can't think of a better use of my time than driving this young lady to Oregon and having 3.5 hours one way to talk dreams and hopes and potential and next steps along the way. I've got some tools that she needs to move ahead in my life, in her life. And how could I keep them for myself, knowing that? Friends, look at your tool belts. Look at them. You've got some stuff in there too. Some experiences, some gifts, some wisdom that those coming up right behind you need from you. You're not going to take your tool belt to heaven. It stays here. And so who are you going to share those tools with? Are they just going to get stored up in some shed, never to be used again? What a shame. What a shame. Because we are surrounded by Timothys right now who need them. Who's your Timothy? I sat in a church office a while back, and I had just been talking over the week to a lady in the church that I loved, and her marriage was going through just a mess. They weren't that far into it and already totally falling apart. A lady walked in the church that day, and we were celebrating a big anniversary. She was an older lady. I think we were looking at 50 or 60 years anniversary that week. She walked in. Everyone in the office said, "Happy anniversary. How many years is it?" She said, like, 58 or something. The other lady said, "Oh, my gosh, can you tell me how you get to that?" And this lady in that moment, she just didn't know better, I guess. But she said, after a while, you just decide it's worth staying and not leaving. And that's all she gave her. This lady who was desperate to hear something of hope, something of direction, something of wisdom, something of Jesus being in the center, something of communication, something of commitment, something. Well, at some point, you just decide not to leave. Oh, a Timothy was right there, so hungry, and a Paul was right there and didn't even see it. Who's going to get your tools? Who's going to get them? Are you already passing some of them out? If not, then what are you waiting for? Timothy's are right here. Paul chose Timothy. Paul empowered and equipped him. And finally, Paul remained invested in him. Did you know that throughout the New Testament, the story of these two covers somewhere around 20 years of life? Paul starts off calling Timothy a son, and by the end, he's calling him a brother. A stranger doesn't become as a son, and then as a brother, after a couple chats at Starbucks. This is a long-term investment. The mentor who watched the protege grow up in Jesus and was close beside him every step of the way. Who's your Timothy? This person needs a real commitment from you. Not just to check in ever so often when you're not camping, but to be by their side as they grow up in Jesus. Not to just always be the one who's a step ahead, but to be moving to that day when they become your partner, your brother, your sister in the good work. The co-laborer who turns out that they're teaching you as much as you're teaching them. But we don't have time for those kinds of relationships anymore, some say. People don't want to invest like that these days. I call nonsense on that. You were waiting for the other. Nonsense. I say that we are dying more than ever for people to really see us, really commit to us, and really invest in us like never before. I say the church's future depends on it. I say the way God has moved his work forward for millennia isn't changing now because we went and got busy. I say that this is the church's chance to be real Jesus people in an every man for himself world. I say this church is jam-packed with Timothys who need a Paul to help him grow up in Jesus. And this church has its fair share of Pauls to see those Timothys and care about them enough to call them out and invite them in. If we're all doing our part, no one gets left behind. Before you leave this place today, maybe you'll pause to ask God, "Who's my Timothy?" And maybe you'll already start deciding how you're going to make the first move. Because she is right here, waiting for you. Maybe we'll refuse to leave without at least considering, "Who's my Timothy?" God's work going forth depends on us asking this question and daring to follow God's lead. Who's your Timothy, would you at least ask the question? Let's start there. Let's pray together. Oh, Father God, we can't thank you enough for new life that's springing up all around us all the time. Oh, young believers, they could be young in age or not, but young in their journey with you all around us. Excited to know you. Excited to join you in your mission in this world. Oh, thank you for such a gift as this in our presence. Keep it coming, God. And Lord, as you do, could our church be a faithful church that disciples each other, that doesn't hold on to ministries and wisdom and experience for ourselves to look really great and really smart and really amazing, but that's constantly pouring those things out that we might be small so others can step in and so your work can go on and on. Until these little bitty kids that were on the stage this morning one day become the ones teaching Sunday school classes and telling us to come together because they have a new idea for outreach for our community that's going to blow us away. Why didn't we think of that 20 years ago? So Lord, help us be faithful in this generation for the ones we saw this morning and the generation just behind us and for the ones behind them. Help us see who's our Timothy and help us faithfully make the next steps in that relationship. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.